Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. A couple of days ago, a video emerged on social media in which a 19-year-old Kyrgyz singer, Zehra Asılbekçin, singing a song in favor of a society which is free of gender discrimination. And a couple of weeks ago, another girl from Tajikistan, a 25-year-old Marifat Dolatova, expressed a similar desire through her paintings of half-naked women, exhibition of which created a storm of anger in the country. In both cases, the message was the same, as well as the overwhelming public reaction, though some supported, but most responses were of criticism, harassment, intimidation, and even death threats. Critics would say the artist disrespected the sacred values of the society, and the issue quickly became a national topic of discussion. Suddenly, everyone had an idea in the region where people usually keep their ideas to themselves. So what was really controversial about these expressions? The desire of the artists or the way they expressed their desire? And most importantly, what did these girls really wanted to say and what inspired them to say it? And I believe even more importantly, what does this entire controversy tell us about Central Asia? To discuss all these, I'm joined by Zehra Asılbek, singer who in part sparked this controversy with her song in Kyrgyzstan, Bermet Talent, a Kyrgyz journalist from Kyiv Post, currently based in Ukraine, Kamila Sultanova, a youth empowerment activist originally from Uzbekistan, currently lives in Finland, Janet, an independent scholar from Turkmenistan who researches nationalism and national identity in her native country, and Bruce Spanier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owazi. Welcome on board, colleagues.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Very nice to have you. So, Zehra?
Yeah.
Everyone is talking about you. What did you do?
What did I do?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I released my song with a music video, which said a lot about, rebelling against the gender discrimination and empowering people to respect each other. That's what I did.
I'm sure everyone has seen the clip, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, Zehra, what did you really wanted to say?
Well, the things that I wanted to say are kind of simple. They are the things that each social project in our country and in the world related to gender equality wants to say. So it was kind of a rebellion because the song consists of some phrases which say, like, don't say me what to wear or what to do or what not to do. So I wanted to say that we should respect each other. We should respect the choice of girls, especially because girls in my country are judged a lot by the way they look. And so I wanted to let people know that everyone can look the way they want and can still be friendly and respectful.
Bruce, we have seen a similar situation in Tajikistan when a female artist, Marifat Dolatova, put her portraits of half-naked women in public. How her work is compared with what Zehra was saying? Is there any comparison between them? And also the reaction that they got?
Well, the reaction was kind of similar. It's kind of hard to compare, of course, because Zehra had her own video out there. Now, in the case of Marifat, I would always have been curious to know if they had just run this art exhibition as an anonymous artist, what the reaction would have been to that. The controversy really seemed to start when everyone found out that this was a young woman that was doing these paintings. And let's face it, you can go to any museum practically in the world and you're going to see similar art. And, as long as it has a guy's name on it from, even 600-700 years ago when people were extremely modest, then it's okay. But I was surprised that, because they are really good paintings. Let's face it, from an artistic point of view, it's great work. And it was kind of shocking to see that all of a sudden, just because the artist was a woman, that there was this outrage, And like I said, if it had been anonymous or if she'd signed it with a man's name, the reaction probably would have been very, very different than it was.
Bermet, Zehra shouldn't be the first one talking about this issue, isn't it? What's the history of it?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about women's partial because of the global Me Too movement, because our women are standing up and demanding fair treatment. But most of the advocacy in Kyrgyzstan has been towards eliminating domestic violence or fighting right kidnapping. And I think what makes Zera's song outstanding is that he actually brought up the topic that every girl faces. It's gender discrimination, it's sexism, and it's a lot of societal norms that define women's life choices and everyday choices.
So, Camila, what about Uzbekistan? Is there any comparison in terms of question of gender equality or gender discrimination between Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan? And also, is there any comparison between the possible reactions?
Thank you for having me. And I want to say hello from Helsinki. I moved from Uzbekistan 16 years ago. And lately from Facebook, there's been a huge force of power in solidarity towards you, Zere, and there's Marifat's collection, art collection, and there's been so much passion and compassion to share the similar feelings, because with Me Too campaigns and, you know, Women's March, we kind of actually seeing this is the first time we Central Asian women unite in similar struggles, in dire struggles we endure every single day. And I haven't seen any of such huge difference, like outrageous and courageous women like Zera doing similar stunts in Uzbekistan. However, there is different kinds of deliveries, right? We can be artistic, we can be provoking. There can also be a diplomatic way to show our ways of being diverse and how to educate the public, the society, that we need to recognize the alternative behaviors, alternative looks that also Zera and Bermet also mentioned. What I feel, the challenges are similar. I left as an 18-year-old to study to Denmark. And I recently, in May this year, I've delivered a TED Talk on empowering others, empowering yourself. And I actually delivered a very own story of courage, how I had to leave South Uzbekistan, where I'm born and raised, that I wasn't, being a girl, I felt I'm the other. I felt I don't matter, that my nose is too big, my skin is too dark, and hands too long. And it's not just physical differences and looks, but my inability just to stand up for my choices. I had to defend every choice I made. And I'm sure my soul sisters here will agree that this is what we face every day, even today. And my idea of showing this and revolting in a nice way, we can all have our differences. And my way is to say we all have a choice and we all should be given opportunities to practice choice, and we have a voice to fill out there. I mean, it's a big pride for me to be here and to touch upon such a difficult subject, which, you know, it had me in tears when I wrote my TEDx speech. I was tearing to say some of the really hardships. You know, you don't want to connect Uzbekistan or Central Asia to something, you know, where we still struggle in women's rights. And at the same time, there is a lot of role models out there. I've been to Uzbekistan twice this spring, and there's, you know, Coding for Girls, there's Technovation Summits, there is a lot of dialogues with OECE, UNDP, and even though there is so many, it's still small efforts, I do encourage us all to create more platforms to build trust with our fellow men, brothers, fathers, and fellow classmates. Because what I believe we all should do is just to show teamwork is visible, that we can do together, and to really break the wrong idea of what is feminism today, because they think we're against men. Yeah. And we're not feminazis. We're here to cooperate. We're here to say we are not less better, less, not less, depending on our gender. And equality is something we should work for together.
Yeah. Well said. I know Janet wants to leave us, but before she does, let me get her point of view on in terms of the challenges that we discussed today that women face on day-by-day basis in your country, how it's compared with the other Central Asia.
Well, we all now talking about gender issues, about women's position in Central Asian society. However, I would like to tell that this September is very, how can I say, eventful, because we had, first of all, this wonderful, this fantastic exhibition of Marafat in Tajikistan, and we had this great song of Zere, and at the same time, on 14th September, we had a festival of electronic music in Uzbekistan. And why I mention this festival of electronic music, or this abstract electronic music, which was absolutely impossible in previous times, in previous years. So all these events, in my point of view, are really, I want to say, they have one idea. They all target an issue. So in the case of Marafat and Zereh, they target an issue of women's position in Central Asian society. In case of this electronic music festival, it's environmental issue, you know, the awareness about Aral Sea. And all these events, they are about, they initiated by young people. Well, they're promoted by young people. They're all united by culture because they're all from performance arts. They're all from visual arts. So I want to say culture can influence our habitus and culture can influence our perception of everything. But culture also, even it's a part of society, it's product of society. Yeah. It can change something in society as well. So it's two-sided processes.
Hmm. Yeah, Janet, being so diplomatic, cleverly avoided my question. Do you want to say a couple of words about the situation in your country, the challenges, and how women are reacting to it?
Well, in my country, there is actually, it's traditional society, which what I can say here, that there's difference with Kyrgyzstan or even with Tajikistan. Hmm. Because I'm actually specialized in nationalism, so I can say from this point of view that in Turkmenistan, we can say nationalism issues, they're really initiated not only by top approach, but top-bottom approach, but also by bottom-top approach. Because what I can say in the everyday life and as how young women are really addicted to these, you know, traditional clothes, to these traditional things, traditional, I want to say, everyday of everyday use things. And, well, for the moment, I don't see in Turkmenistan the similar trends as I can see in Kyrgyzstan and in Tajikistan. However, there is a great representative of Turkmen arts. They are not presented everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, they also talk about, I won't say gender issue, about respect for women. But I won't say this is not personal issue, I won't say. Yeah. It's really kind of common issue.
Fair, Janet. Thank you. So, Zera, let's get back to you. So now that your video went viral, what's your feeling? Is this helping the objectives you had in mind when you were recording this?
Well, I'd like to say that I kind of overreached my goals by this video because before shooting the video, I thought I wanted to do something really big, some big social project that will make people discuss the gender equality problems. But after shooting the video and before releasing, I was having really like huge doubts about it because the quality of the video is kind of bad. But now I see the effect that it has created, and a lot of comments and people are discussing it everywhere on TV, on the internet platform, and I feel like I really overreached my goal because my goal was to start a really important conversation among the people, and no matter how negative they react or positive, it was important for me to create to start an open conversation. So I am really glad that this thing happened and it went so huge.
Yeah. Zereh, just a follow-up question on that. So if you were to do this video or launch up this project again, would you do anything differently?
No, I wouldn't. I would do the exact same thing because I have no regrets and no apologies.
Okay, and now this is the ground reality after two bold statements on the issue of gender equality. Is this a trend in Central Asia? And how to understand the reaction of the people and what is next in this movement? We will continue the Majlis talking about these and many other questions very shortly. First, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis, I'm joined by Zera Asilbek, feminist Kyrgyz singer in Bishkek, Bermet Talent, Kyrgyz journalist for Key Post, Kamila Sultanova, a youth empowerment activist from Uzbekistan, Janet, an independent scholar from Turkmenistan, and Bruce Panier, editor of Central Asia blog called Kishlok Owazi. I am Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis here in Washington, D.C. and we are talking about feminism and gender equality in Central Asia. Now, I want to look into the action and reaction of the people from both ends. Kamila, maybe you can jump in here. So first in Tajikistan, now in Kyrgyzstan, these are bold steps in Central Asia. Is this a new trend of some sort?
Well, I think it's actually a natural trend because we are opening up as countries, and we are also, you know, the new generation is more connected on internet. We see what's going on, and we are not going to be silenced. And people are awakening and using all the tools available to self-expression. You know, the generation now is generation awareness. And we are aware of our feelings, and if we are, our feelings are overridden or actions, I think it's a nice sign. As much as there is Me Too in the Western Europe, there is also Me Too in Japan and even in China. And this is also this taboo where women historically don't have much rights. And, you know, in patriarchal societies, I find it great that we have someone with so much of courage and bravery to stand out. And especially when we have, you know, the huge risk of being an outcast. We're already outcast by being outspoken, right? And I can give an anecdote that I grew up in a culture where my father would say, you don't go out and talk to men in the bazaar, I'll do it for you. So, you know, being that you don't even speak to the opposite sex, then you don't really feel like you're a second-class citizen, right? Okay. And here we are, we dressed up, we have our educations, we travel the world, and then we are still segregated to something less. And I find it's not a trend, but it's a natural evolution. And somehow the internet allows us to export our revolts and express our behaviors that this is not okay. If someone doesn't hear, the world will hear. And this is where I really acknowledge Zera and I acknowledge Marifat for doing that.
Keep that in mind. I want to come back on that point to you, Kamila, just in a minute. Yeah. But before that, maybe Birmit. So you did a story on this on EurasiaNet. Actually, that has inspired me to come to this topic. That was insightful.
You're welcome. I enjoyed working on it.
So what is inspiring or causing this trend that our colleagues were talking about?
I think that Zara's video created a third wave of discussion of public discourse on the women's rights in Kyrgyzstan only this year. And I think it's been a fantastic year for women's rights and the discussion about women's rights in our country. The first one was sparked by the murder of Burulay Turdalıkızı, a girl who was kidnapped, who left her abductor, went to the police, and she was murdered by her abductor and the police. And it highlighted the problem not only with bride kidnapping, but also with a weak rule of law. It showed that women who are leaving their abductors and who seek justice, they are still at risk and they're still unprotected. So that was the first wave this year. The second wave was yet another initiative to ban young Kyrgyz women under 26 years old, I believe, from traveling abroad. And it was the initiative was proposed by a group of Kyrgyz labor migrants, mainly in Turkey, mainly men. So they thought that in such a way, Kyrgyz girls will be protected from human trafficking, sexual exploitation, and generally from like loose morals of the West and other countries. So I think this is a very positive trend, what we're seeing at the moment.
Okay, Bruce, what's your thought on this trend and also what's inspiring it?
You also got to remember, too, there was the period where there were, where these countries were part of the Soviet Union. And at least publicly, the government's always stated that there would be no gender inequality, and to some extent they did. You have to give them some credit. I mean, they kind of liberated women from a lot of the things that were going on there that they had been confined to before the Soviet Union. However, that momentum really didn't last too long, although it did raise the status of women and made them somewhat more independent. After independence, of course, everyone was kind of trying to get back to their roots, you know, what their culture was all about before the Russians or Soviets showed up. And there seemed to be a little bit of regression. We know traditionally it's a patriarchal society in Central Asia and most of those countries. So it's a tough battle to fight. But it's good that this issue is out there because, of course, you know, this is half the population we're talking about and they have a lot to contribute. And there's some incredible misunderstandings about what it mean, what emancipation and equality means. And I'll point out that last year in Kyrgyzstan, for instance, in November, there was a television show on, and there was a businessman, Babur Tolbayev, was on the show. And
I reported on that too.
Yeah, and he said that feminism was like terrorism.
Oh.
He equated the two, you know, and I'm like, how exactly is that the same thing? But so this is the kind of misunderstanding that, you know, this stuff has to be out in the open so it can be debated, because obviously some people are so polarized that this is the extent that it goes to, you know, where people are like, well, feminism and terrorism, I don't see the difference, when in fact, I don't see the comparison, you know. So it's good that this is out in public, and it really does need to be debated. I mean, you know, look at Kyrgyzstan, to its credit, the only Central Asian country with a woman president, Roza Otunbayeva. You know, and I've met people in the past that were all over Central Asia, women that were just like amazing. And it was hard to think that their possibilities would be limited by their gender, because they were easily some of the smartest people I'd run into, very ambitious, moving in the right direction, energetic, you know, and it was just kind of a shame. Now, I'm not saying that things are that much better in the West or anything. We encounter these problems too. But you do have that mindset among some men in Central Asia that, you know, it's that old woman's place is in the home and they should be mothers and that kind of stuff. And it's like I said, they escaped that a little bit somewhat during the Soviet period, but it kind of crept back after independence. And so I'm glad to see that we're moving in the opposite direction, pushing back against that again. Yeah. And this is open for debate at the moment. And hopefully people are listening.
Yeah. If I may add, I read some comments online to Zara's video, and some people said, oh, everyone is going to forget about that in a week. It's just a hype, and it's not going to change anything. Mm. Like, people are going to talk about that video and about the sexism and gender discrimination and forget about it. But this is wrong. I can't imagine this level of discussion in Kyrgyzstan a few years ago. Mm. I think it was impossible. But in the past 2-3 years, we see that even powerful, even rich men, they have been called out for their sexist comments. And Bruce gave an example of Babur Tolbayev, who is one of the, I guess, most known and richest people in the country. Still, when his interview was online and a lot of people watched it, and a lot of women actually call him out for saying that this is wrong, you can't say that. And he was caught lying because he said that female leadership was, I'm sorry, it was a crap and it was something unrealistic. But his business, like he runs this micro loan company, like his business was entirely built on women who are his main clients. So another time, the same was with some other members of parliament, like Tursunbay Bakirulu, some religious leaders who compared Kyrgyz women with shoes, you know. It's all public, and people talk about it, and people shame those men. And I can't imagine this happening a few years ago. I mean, I can't even imagine happening in other Central Asian countries, to be honest. I mean, in Kazakhstan, Nursultan Nazarbayev tells sexist jokes every year, and everyone just smiles. And in this way, I'm kind of proud of Kyrgyzstan, of the level of the openness of discussion. And I agree with Bruce. I think we're moving in the right direction.
Okay.
You know, if I could just jump in one thing, too, that I thought the response of Zera's father was absolutely just fantastic.
Zera, tell us how your father reacted to it.
Yeah, so here's the thing. My video went viral in just like a few hours, and there were a lot of bad comments. And since my dad is respectful, let's say, teacher, people were shocked, some of them who knew me and who knew my father. Yeah. And they were saying stuff like, oh my God, is this even your daughter? How can you even be like pedagogical and like raise up this kind of girl? It's like shame on you and stuff like that. So, and then my father, he has always been this understanding and tolerant man, and he always saw me as a personality first, not
his daughter. So he made a Facebook post saying that, hey, come on, maybe I don't like the way Zire looked in her music video. Maybe I do not support her in these terms, but I really respect the way she thinks and the way she is fighting for the stuff that she thinks is important. So this was in the brief, like, his response. And his response went as viral as my videos. We're discussing not only me now, but me and my father, and like the way Kyrgyz families are kind of spoiled now. And so it caused real anger, but I want to say that it also caused a lot of support from people who we did not expect support from.
Janet was a little bit diplomatic. Let me be a little bold on that. So whatever moment is this, whatever happening in Central Asia, it yet to reach Turkmenistan, I should say, because women are facing so many challenges there. I think, Bermet, you were earlier referring to a girl not allowed to leave alone the country or something like that. So it just happens every day in Turkmenistan. Janet, are you still with us?
I think she left.
Okay. So the other topic that, Camilla, I requested that you think about, that is how to explain people's reaction to this. I do not claim understanding every word that Zera said in her song, but it was just very innocent desire, asking for respect on decision girls make about their lives. It's not really too much to ask, I should say. I'm trying to learn reaction of people from their standing points. Is it of anger? Is it of nervousness? What's the name for this reaction?
Well, when I look at it, right? So I'm proud that I'm Uzbek. I'm here. You cannot see me, but I'm wearing ikat dress because I came to connect to my community where I felt a long time an outcast because I'm a girl, because my brothers had been allowed more than I am. Yeah. You know, I say it nicely in a TED talk that my delivery of the speech is that, yes, I struggled, but I came and connected myself to our culture, and I made friends and peace with my dad. So going back, I'll just get off the topic here, Muhammad, but going back to Zera's father, I think one of the lessons this teaches, and a great example, is better parenting, that a lot of our freedoms as girls and boys, regardless who you are, adolescents, is actually violated by our own parents, because we have to live through their lens of success, through their lens of our the social norms, and what kind of figure and kind of image of a daughter and a son we need to live up to. And this is where I also revolted and I left, and domestic violence was not also, it wasn't new to me. You know, I faced it in my small village, and it's not something that I don't hear every time I talk to people. It's so, unfortunately, it's so ubiquitous. It's everyday life. And so for me, better parenting is number one, to be able to treat girls and boys equally and give them the right to speak, that they are. We all have personality and we all have individuality and the way we look. So when I looked at it, it was like, oh my God, it's really what I could also relate to. Why should I, you know, this poem is simple, and we are in 2018 in Finland, you know, where there is one of the champions in gender equality. It's like overemphasized focus on that women and men are equal. And of course, there is issues on gender pay, but we are in two different axes of the societies, because we are also isolated a bit and economics play a big role. So when I look at the video, I want to taste the new reality of our society, which is waking up, hopefully. And we only can do is to share this video and go and raise these discussions, have these dialogues, and talk to our nephews and brothers, even if it's uncomfortable. Because I have to have discussions every time with my men family members, that why am I 30 and not yet married? That was like years ago. And why am I not having kids? That's what I'm saying, that we still need to defend our decisions, defend our actions. And when I've shared it yesterday also, Zera's video, and my mentor Nana, she also was like, I don't understand it, that how can we still discuss it? And I know we all can be provoking, we can be diplomatic, we can be assertive, but this whole idea of being assertive is also under question, right? Remember Serena Williams a few weeks back?
Yeah.
That there is still a sign that, you know, being a woman, there is double standards and how you're supposed to be smiley and nice and petite, where the men tennis players could do whatever they want, and they didn't, you know, they didn't get sabotaged as Serena was. I think it's the struggle around the world, especially when we have these campaigns of Me Too and we have these power leaders that make racism and populism and against women and, you know, access to abortion, like, you know, countries in Europe like Poland. They've been, you know, revolting on it on 8th of March this year, and I was in Warsaw and saw it myself. You kind of question, it's like, are we really succeeding here, or are we, you know, one step forward and two steps back? But what I said before, that the internet allows us to see these stories of courage, is that there is a huge diaspora of us abroad, and we support it because we also want to see our communities develop. And that I'm also a lot, I'm often now in Uzbekistan, and one of the ladies that I can think close to being so courageous is Umida Ahmedova. Do you know her?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's one of the, you know, she's a famous documentarist, she's a photographer, she's been several times to Denmark when I lived in Denmark, and I really look up to her. She's even married to a Russian guy, you know, and like, this is also, I mean, she's a subject of a lot of anger and, you know, comments, and, you know, it's like a black and white discussion. But what I would really like to see is that, could we have these kind of Central Asian networks? There is a youth network, like Central Asian Youth Network, where Dina Iglikova, she's running that network.
Yes, I know her.
Yeah, so she raised great discussions at OSCE Youth Conference in June in Tashkent, saying that we as Central Entry Youth, we need to find out where we want to be, what values are we supporting, and where we are going. And I believe that was so strongly said. And me as a youth empowerment activist, I work with Finnish youth. And you may say, why? Well, Finnish youth needs to also accept us as people with different ethnic backgrounds to grow Finland, which won't be, you know, in this discriminatory space, but actually tolerant space, which Finland is famous for, for its peace treaties. So I'm trying to see where are those platforms where we can be many and amplify our voices to raise good discussions.
Yeah. You know,
Mohammed. Just quickly answering your question, I think that it's important to point out the fact that it wasn't Zere's song, like the powerful message of the song, that sparked all this public outrage. It was her video.
Which is,
And her look in the video. Mm-hmm. So most of the discussion evolved around her look. People called it indecent and provocative because she appears wearing bright red lipstick, wearing short skirt, and a purple lacy bra with a black blazer on top. And this is what people saw as something humiliating for the Kyrgyz girl, you know, because the image of the Kyrgyz girl is being modest, cover up, and look down. So we should discuss, with the policing of the body and the female dress in Central Asia, because it's not only about the freedom of action and freedom of choice. When you can't make choice, even at the most basic level, you can't choose your own outfit without being labeled, I guess, the lowest level issue of women's rights.
Just to push back a little bit on that, I know that what I'm going to say could be unpopular, but let me say this. So this anger and people's perception of Zera being a little bit provocative, both in song and in her garments, also makes me to think that, of course, what she is saying, what she is doing is new. And of course, it's uncomfortable discussion for many people in Central Asia. And of course, we have to go through it. But could this discussion be held differently? Could these questions be raised a little bit differently?
Oh, can I answer on that?
Sure.
So I suggest my idea. I think there is discussions raised every day, but because they are precisely done in a way that is edible, you don't see them circulating. And you need to have artistic view, because what do artists do? They make us see things clearly. And I believe therefore being an artistic entry here with visual, strong visuals here, there is the only way it could be. And I know that even if I showed it to my friends in Uzbekistan, not all of them would agree with that. And no, we don't have that issue. You can wear whatever you want. But then again, it's creating a lot of bubbles, right? We all live in bubbles of, you know, in the capital, or do you come from periphery? And I think that those forces of anger can only be gotten, because if you have an anger, it's already a reaction. So somehow you need to tame it. And these artistic, you could write a poem, you know, I mean, poetry is strong, but without these visuals, it couldn't be as profound and as provoking. And I believe we need such kind of entries.
In my opinion, it all comes down to sexual education, which is non-existent. I don't know about other countries, but in Kyrgyzstan, sex ed just doesn't exist. And a lot of people saw Zere's outfit, like her look in the video, as being overly sexual. And this is the area that Kyrgyz society does everything to avoid. So I guess if we had like a comprehensive sexual education, if it explained that seeing a little bit of female breasts, it's not sexual. I mean, like earlier this year on Kyrgyz social media, I saw, I guess it was Aliya Shagiyeva, daughter of Atambayev, when she posted a video breastfeeding her child. A lot of people saw it as some sexual element as well. And I think this is something wrong in society. So it all comes down to educating people. And unfortunately, like I said before, sexual education is not on curriculum in Kyrgyz schools at the moment. And until we have a comprehensive sexual education, until we teach boys and girls equally how female and male bodies look, what consent is, what sex is, what the contraceptives are, I think people will still giggle and find it embarrassing to see, I don't know, a woman in a bikini on the screen, you know.
Can I please follow up this, because I really want to say something. Yeah, I totally agree with Birmet, because the sex just seems not to exist in Kyrgyzstan, and that is why I took I knew that my outfit would cause this kind of reaction, and that is why I decided to be a little bit provocative, because if I didn't do this brass thing, I think the conversation of this topic wouldn't be so big, you know. I mean, psychologically thinking, it's the weak point, the weak topic that people have. Like, of course, sex is there, but if we keep pretending that it's not there, this is what happens, because everyone's ashamed of it. And since everyone's ashamed, they like shaming people for doing something with sexual context, they think. So that's what I wanted to say.
But I don't even think that your look was sexual. Seriously.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But for
it was stylish. I liked it a lot. And I don't understand. I don't think that wearing bright red lipstick or a skirt suggests anything. You know,
but the society's perception is unfortunately different, Birmet.
Yeah,
I know that. Yeah. I grew up there.
Well said. Such an interesting discussion. I just forgot even looking into my watch. We are way over time. But Bruce, you know, you guys in America, you went through this discussion ages ago. Any wise words on what's the way forward and how we can treat this discussion?
We're still having this discussion in America. So, you know, like I said, you really as a man, and I think men in general, you really deprive yourself of something if you're not willing to engage with women on an equal basis, you know, and have a normal conversation, the same kind of conversation you'd have when you're out with the guys or something like that. Because, I mean, we all know the same stuff. To go into any meeting with someone, relationship, and I mean that purely generically, but just to engage with somebody, you know, one-on-one or as a group, and already come in with these preconceptions of my conversation can't include this or should include that, or there are certain ways I have to address this because this person is from another gender, and you're kind of missing the point. You know me, Muhammad. There's only two kinds of people in the world for me, cool and uncool, and everybody fits into one of those categories, and I don't really make a distinction after that. So.
Wow. With this, thank you very much, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia blog, Kishlak Owozi. And also big thanks goes to Zira Asilbek, Kyrgyz feminist activist, Bermet Talent, Kyrgyz journalist, who's currently based in Ukraine, Janet, scholar from Turkmenistan. We opted out her second name just because of the security reasons she left us. Thank you very much for Janet. And also big thanks to Kamila Sultanova, Uzbek youth activist currently based in Finland. Thank you very much, colleagues, for your time and thoughts today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes. Thank you. And this is from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.